throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We've got all kinds of topics, and we got a brand new one that just popped up on the radar screen. But Jared's happy somebody lost his job.
It's kind of guy. I'm that kind of guy.
That's kind of guy he is.
I am that guy.
Also, a couple of baseball things that are possible. Aaron Judge, maybe the Dodgers making a run at the all-time single season record for wins. That one's a little bit further out of left field, but we'll talk about Aaron Judge. 46 home runs with 44 games left on the schedule. College football, there's tons of topics and a brand new one. I'm going to ask you, if you could change something from yesterday's predictions, what would it be? We both talked about the bowl predictions of Saban. Who is it? That's the bold prediction, Jared. We all know that Nick Saban is going to be done at some point. But the boldness is, who will it be next? Came out after the show that the College Football Playoff Committee, the presidents, chancellors of the universities, seriously considering breaking away from the NCAA for football. What does that mean? OU fans, big mad at the university. Big mad about tailgating. Social media joke trying to cancel Tiger Woods. You see this?
No.
I've mentioned this Twitter account before, and it has some people that are clearly stupid mad. LeBron got paid. NBA schedule was released. Got some dates for Thunder games. That kind of stuff.
Sorry you said NBA.
Well, I mean, you can sit on the sidelines and miss the Chet Holmgren bandwagon
right now,
whatever, Jared.
The NBA is on the back burner. Come on,
well,
we're how many days away from high school football, college?
Doesn't
football?
Matter. It's still they're going to release the damn schedule, and you're going to sit here and listen to key dates. I don't care what you say. And then the breaking news of the day:
they just want to be the NFL. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, did you have you seen the Christmas Day schedule? Boy, the NFL has just, in 2 years, wrestled that thing right away.
Yes, they have.
They've wrestled it away.
Yes, they have.
Big news of the day. The Big Ten has agreed to a new media rights deal, and the numbers are off the charts. Could this be the beginning of the turning of the tide away from the SEC in favor of the Big Ten? And I'll tell you why it could be as we explain what this deal means and what it's going to happen. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else is on your mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. Three radio stations, the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News is out right now. Just go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Regular season games start next Friday. We are going to have kind of a fun broadcast this Friday of the scrimmage. It's not going to be a normal calling of a ball game. We're going to be more introducing you. There's going to be a bunch of new faces. They're going to have the ball in their hands for Elk City at the skill positions. Talk about the district, talk about the schedule, talk about a lot of different things. So if you're expecting, you know, play-by-play analysis of every play, that ain't going to be what it is. You're going to be able to see it. We're going to have the game on, and we'll tell you, you know, so-and-so, you know, that was so-and-so or whatever. But it's going to be more of a kind of a preview show of Big Elk football as the scrimmage is going. And also it's going to help us work out some kinks as well, if there are any, for the first broadcast a week from Friday. So if you can't make it out to Big Elk Stadium, you'll be able to watch it. We'll talk about it, and we'll be there for that 6 o'clock on BigElkTV.com. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast available iTunes, KADSAM.com as well. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I am.
You are what?
I thought I heard thunder there for just a second.
I think it was a door.
Okay. I was like, what was, oh, like a sliding door, like on a van or something? That sounded like.
I think it was a, I don't know, or somebody fell down.
Somebody fell down the stairs, maybe?
Maybe.
Outside?
Could be a guy of certain stature who fell down the stairs. I don't know.
Was that thunder? Anyhow.
I mean, it's hazy out. I don't think it's thunderstorm out,
I don't
though.
Think so either. That
usually
knocked...
our phones blow up when it's getting close, right?
Yeah, it just totally knocked off my train of thought.
Glance at it. All right. Take you.
Anyhow, how are you?
I'm good. I'm real good. How are you doing?
I am just fine. I was really kind of struggling around to think about topics today that, you know, wouldn't continue down the same path. But about that point, at about that point, I see breaking news.
Breaking news.
From Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, the Big Ten has agreed to a new media rights deal starting in 2023. They are going to make, it's a 7-year deal. How much money do you think the entire package is worth?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Just guess.
7-year deal.
7-year deal.
Yeah. Is it, are we getting close to billions?
Oh, we're
way back.
We're
way
in
past
them.
That. Wow. What is it?
7 years, $7 billion. $1 billion a year.
That is big time.
It's expected to generate an even distribution among the schools of anywhere from $80 to $100 million a year for the 16 schools that are currently, well, USC and UCLA coming in to that conference. It is split between three networks. Fox will remain the primary partner with the Big Ten, but it also has CBS and NBC. So all three major networks will be a part of this TV package. And here, there are a couple of things that are genius about this deal. One, using all three networks, you know what that gets you? That gets you a prime spot in every TV window of the day. So it'll go Big Ten game on Fox at 11 our time, Big Ten game on CBS, which will replace the SEC game after the 23 season. So it'll be 1 year of overlap between this deal starting and the SEC game of the week at 2:30 on CBS. That won't start till 24 for just exclusively Big Ten.
Right.
But it's still going to be, so you're going to go from Fox at 11, CBS at 2:30, and then NBC will have a primetime game, which Notre Dame is still going to be an NBC TV partner as well, which I'm sure their deal is going to be astronomical. So there might be some times where Notre Dame plays a night game, you know, vice versa in there. What it equates to is Fox will have anywhere from 24 to 32 Big Ten games every year. CBS will do 14 or 15. NBC will do somewhere between 14 and 16. Brilliant strategy. And, oh, by the way, all three will carry Big Ten title games.
So what, they'll rotate, kind of like Super Bowl, rotate it around?
Except for Fox gets the majority, then down to CBS, then down to NBC.
Gotcha.
So Fox has it this year, obviously, because the current deal's in place. Once it starts in the 23 season, Fox gets the odd number years for the 7 years. So 23, 25, 27, 29. CBS will get 24 and 28. NBC will get 2026. So that's kind of an idea of how this thing goes. There's going to be some streaming things with Peacock as well in there. But I think the headliner is, one, the money, 7 years, $7 billion, how they use the networks, and then, oh, by the way, who's not there?
Who's not there?
Who's not involved in this TV package? ESPN.
Well, yeah.
And ABC. I think this is a brilliant strategy.
It's like pitting all of them against ESPN.
That's exactly right. Exactly what's happening here. And I think you can start with another topic we're going to have a little bit later on with the College Football Playoff Committee and the presidents and chancellors kind of meeting yesterday discussing breaking football away from the NCAA. this is all set up for playoff expansion and the TV of the playoff to be, at least in the Big Ten's mind, to be split up. Now, the question is, how does ESPN and the SEC counter this?
That's a great question. I keep going back to streaming because that seems to be the way of the future. These are multiple TV deal or multiple networks in this TV deal for the Big Ten, but is the SEC, they're locked in with ESPN no matter what?
Absolutely.
Or can the, you know what I mean? So there's no wiggle room where they can go, hey, let's get some of these secondary games on. We've mentioned it all the time, Amazon or
maybe it was some of that, but you know, that game of the week, ESPN's going to pay $300 million for one game.
Yeah.
Per year, I think that equates to like $3.5 billion over the time. There's probably some of that, and it was expected at the time, and there's still negotiations for the SEC's deal, and some other factors for sure, and the one that they signed. And of course, adding Oklahoma and Texas and what value that brings to the deal as well. It's a little bit like the quarterback market in the NFL, right? One guy signs a deal and then that sets the market, and then the next guy trumps it. And so the SEC did what they did. They distributed $55 million to each of its schools evenly last year. The ESPN deal kicking in expected that to rise by at least $20 million a school with their new. So that puts them in the 75 to 80 range. This is 80 to 100 for the Big Ten. You see pretty quickly why these schools are making the decisions they are to leave these long-time rivalries and long-time partnerships with current conferences. The Big 12, in a record year, distributed $38 million. That's half of what Oklahoma and Texas are going to get as far as right now. Mm-hmm. USC, UCLA were getting 33. Now they'll get 80. It's almost $50 million more. And coming out of COVID, dollars matter.
Oh, yeah.
With the way some of these athletic departments have been wrecked, and quite frankly, in LA, if you're not any good, your athletic department isn't generating the money it needs to. Here's my question, though. With what we saw in the last time everybody got together, discussed playoff expansion, and then the Big Ten, the Pac-12 kind of formed an alliance to squash that.
Right.
It looks like the Big Ten is thinking, hey, this is going to set up great for our TV partners to wrestle some of the playoff away from ESPN. And now it'll be fair for us, or for our TV people. What if Greg Sankey, the SEC, and ESPN says, screw you guys?
Which is very likely.
Screw you guys, we'll do our own. In a move that the Big Ten thinks is going to unify everybody and make a 16-team playoff a thing, what if what it really does is take us back to the damn 70s and 80s and early 90s, to where now there could be a split national champion because they're not going to play a playoff together?
That'd be pretty bold, but again, wouldn't be shocked if Sankey and the SEC did that. And in the process, they expand furthermore, with getting like a Clemson or Florida State or Miami, like four more teams on the East Coast or something like that. Big name teams. And that, and that could be very enticing to them. This is our plan. This is our, 10-year plan, what we plan on doing. Maybe we want you guys a part of that. So, yeah, it'd be pretty bold, and I don't think it'd be knee-jerk reaction, and they'd do it in, like, 2 years or so. But, like, okay, they're going to do this. This is our plan. Pave the road for this. Let's get ready to open up invites for more teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's
SEC is going to try to take over the world.
But here's the problem, though. They're landlocked.
Yeah.
By landlocked, I mean media landlocked. That's why what the Big Ten did was so brilliant. Because they're not stuck with one and, oh, by the way, eliminated the others. I mean, when you think of the major broadcast networks in this country, there's, for sports especially, there's five.
Yeah.
ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, and ABC.
Technically, you could put ESPN and ABC together.
And that's one. And that's what I'm saying, though. And of those five, two of those are together. They're the same thing.
Right.
And so I think the strategy of this from Kevin Warren and the Big Ten was phenomenal. Because now it definitely pits the networks against each other, but it's not ESPN versus Fox like we were thinking. Now it's ESPN versus Fox, NBC, and ABC. This could be a turning of the tide as far as who really controls college football. Because it's been ESPN and the SEC for coming on two decades. ESPN for sure that long. The SEC, you know, toward the middle to end of the 2000s, that's when they started on that run of all those national title winners in a row, mm-hmm. In 2006 that wasn't ended until 2013. And so this is really, really interesting. Now, it's as much as anything, even it definitely puts the Big Ten on equal footing from a power standpoint to me with getting all three of those networks combined mm-hmm. into their deal. Because now, you know, with Notre Dame being there with NBC, you know, unless CBS, the CBS want to try a night game. I mean, first off, why would they? You know, the SEC just shunned them. Why would they throw them a bone? You know, on a night game. And so we'll see where that power really, really lies. You know, I think the argument that you could make on the SEC side of this is definitely, well, who is college football? Well, it's ESPN. You know where to go mm-hmm. to find, you know what I'm saying? If you're not sure, let's try ESPN. ESPN 2. ABC. And then, of course, at 2:30, which is the SEC brand or the CBS brand, SEC mostly, I would think, you know that's where that game's at every week. But you do know where that game's at every week. So now this is why getting in every window across there is really, really shrewd move by the Big Ten, in my mind, to be able to set themselves up to really be to try to be as big a player as what the SEC has been.
Right.
Lots of possibilities.
I'm telling you, there's so many avenues that this could go, so many paths that this could go, and the ripple effect that it will occur, that will affect the rest of the college football world. So you can only speculate how far it could go, which, I mean, there's so many, like I said, so many ways it could go. It's fascinating. I'm kind of in a holding pattern. Like, all right, let's find out what else is going to happen.
Big the Pac-12. It's there's guys that have done the numbers. So they were only at $33 million a year with SC and UCLA. It's suspected that each school will lose 13 a year because of those defections. That puts them at 20. That is a monumental disadvantage.
Yeah,
from 20 to 80. Big Ten was, or the Big 12 was at 38, losing OU in Texas, but then gaining what they've gained. You know, that to me, this move and those figures, that puts a nail in the Pac-12 coffin.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does.
An absolute nail in their coffin.
Yeah. Which I think could be the next move or the next announcement. But, well, we're so close to the season, almost a week away from the first game, that I, as far as realignment news is concerned, I don't think we see it until
Well, here's Brett afterwards. McMurphy. Speaking of that, Brett McMurphy, to follow up on what he's got about this. Big Ten lands a 7-year media rights agreement with Fox, CBS, NBC, Peacock, and FS1 as well. So there's another avenue of Big 12 games that we've seen FS1. Worth records $7 to $8 billion. Contract escalators may increase the value all the way up to $10 billion. And then from a source, so that means the Big not done expanding.
So what are we thinking? Oregon, Washington?
Probably.
Somebody like that, yeah.
Oregon, Washington, say like North Carolina and Virginia. Just schools that fit the bill of Big Ten. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So now does that force the SEC's hand? For, say, Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and does Oklahoma State or somebody like that get in the mix? To kind of equal out the east-west part of it.
Right.
I've been of the opinion that the SEC was going to stay at 16 for a while just because who adds value? But they're also not going to get left behind by the Big Ten.
At some point, and I know we're hurling towards these mega conferences, but at some point, when does value trump quantity? Quality over quantity. You see what I'm saying?
I mean,
don't take Kansas just for the sake of taking a Kansas because they expand your conference and gives you a footprint in the great state of Kansas. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think that's already happening. I think it's been happening from the very beginning of this. That's been a major consideration.
Just quantity?
No. Quality.
Quality.
Absolutely.
But some, and I say this, but when I'm not throwing shade at Oklahoma State. That's not what I'm doing. But sometimes, I mean, geography be damned. I mean, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but it has in the SEC for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expanded west just because the Atlantic Ocean is east. Sure. Florida, you can't go east of Florida and South Carolina.
Right.
So you have to come west. And I also think that the difference, and maybe you say USC and UCLA are more like this than we realize, but it also feels like the cultural fit that the SEC has been able to maintain makes more sense than some of these Big Ten teams.
That's true.
But
because there's times we'll see a team, like Clemson's a good example, like, man, they seem like an SEC team in the ACC.
And those are the ones that get added.
Right. Right.
Versus, but maybe the school part of it, the academic side of the hoity-toityness of USC and UCLA, we don't realize that fits into the Big Ten model. Plus, USC's good at football, so maybe there's more cultural fits there than we realize. Versus just like we've seen in the SEC, there hasn't been one where you went, that doesn't make sense. Maybe Missouri, maybe. Missouri feels more Big Ten than SEC to me.
A little bit.
From wrestling and, some of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, maybe that one. Everybody else is like, well, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Right.
And that's where I think OSU has a huge advantage. Because they make sense because of they're crazy about football. In the state of Oklahoma. It just is.
Yeah, and football's king.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
to me,
you mentioned other sports. You mentioned wrestling, but how fun would it be to see the OSU in the Big Ten with all those wrestling schools?
Yeah,
you know where I'm going, but
I do. But good luck with. Then you got academics, yeah. And here's the truth: the SEC schools aren't. Some of them are, but a majority of the conference isn't at that level of what a lot of those Big Tens are.
I wish it would fit nicely in the SEC because of culture.
For sure. For 100%
The SEC
sure.
would embrace the cowboy way, that cowboy culture.
Oh,
you know, that good old boy culture that Oklahoma State is, you know, that small town feel.
Yes.
Yet major college, great football program. They would fit right in.
Look through there. Look through the entirety of the conference.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Right.
It's small, bigger town. There's no LAs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's all smaller towns that are college.
OSU
fits in way better than Miami.
Yeah. 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 You're right. Know? Yeah. The best football program in the nation is out of a town called Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. I mean, Oxford and Stark Vegas. And
yeah.
I mean, we can just go on and on through.
Well, Stillwater would fit in really well in there.
Absolutely. And so that's.
Begs the question, what if Oklahoma OU is in OKC? You know, that doesn't. But they're in a little offshoot town called Norman.
Sure.
You know, and you look at the where these other towns are, you know, they're an hour away from something big. You know, Ann Arbor's close to Detroit. I know I'm going outside the SEC, mm-hmm. but you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
But, yeah, Stillwater would, and that whole everything I said about Stillwater and OSU would fit nicely in the SEC.
That's right.
And then it would help that football program is consistently winning, have been since Gundy's got there. And you never know when a breakthrough season might happen.
That's right. Yeah, and that's
anybody that wants to blame OU or Texas for going to the SEC, you never know. Again, you're playing them in a really tough conference, and then there's going to be that one year where they're just like an LSU season.
Yeah, money.
Well, money too. Yeah,
money is why. When you look at those numbers, from $38 million to 75 or higher, like 75 minimum. For Oklahoma and Texas,
no to that?
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
And then you know what else? The ones that don't say no, the ones that say they'll say no, are the ones that haven't been asked yet. But they're also the ones trying to get asked.
Woo-hoo. Is that why Mike Gundy's been so boisterous mm-hmm. lately?
Makes sense. I mean, you got to do it.
He's just trying to. Hey, we're over here.
This is not the time. I think that's why he made that comment at the end of the Fiesta Bowl about having a brand, and he's right.
Yeah.
The truth is, he's right. And the people, fans can be fans, but the people that are making the decisions are looking at the numbers that he's touting and starting to realize, wait a minute. Yeah, they've been good. Okay, yeah, well, they've been pretty good. Oh, they've been that good. And then you start looking, oh, whoa, their games are drawing, what, on TV? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, but damn. They'll work. It's going to be interesting. Because part of me thought before today that the Big Ten and the SEC were going to be done at 16 because they were going to have their deals and they're going to have this certain amounts of mouths to feed and the money would go up. Now I don't think that's true. Now I think it's clear that the Big Ten is trying to beat the SEC to the punch, and they have with this media rights deal. Now let's see who they can muster to add to that conference. You know, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility whatsoever. And depending on what the grant of rights are for the other conferences and how much money they're willing to pay to get out of it to come make this money, those are all considerations. We've seen that right here with Oklahoma and Texas and kind of biding their time. But that timeline just got sped up with the Big 12 or the Big Ten, excuse me, media rights deal that's going to pay them over $1 billion annually.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So did you see, I think I'd mentioned this Twitter account before, and it's kind of, there's been times where I went, what?
You got to be careful what you're looking at.
Yeah, then realized, oh, never mind. It's the PGA 2 or, the way they spell it, T-U-O-R. So the big news of this week in golf was Tiger Woods flying up to the BMW Championship beforehand to discuss with, you know, kind of top 20 guys there or what have you, the circumstances that are LIV Golf and the PGA Tour and how to kind of navigate these waters. And so yesterday, the PGA Tour Twitter account tweeted out a supposed quote from Tiger Woods in those meetings that said, "I would rather watch a WNBA game than live golf."
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that.
And the idiots in this country are trying to cancel him over being misogynistic from a parody Twitter account. Quote. I just found that. I found that so funny that a social media joke has people up in arms trying to get Tiger Woods canceled. How many times can Tiger Woods get canceled? Hasn't he been canceled a couple times already?
I think he's the Teflon Don of golf. I mean, nothing's going to stick on this guy.
He's
been through the ringer. He's done. hasn't he done?
Well, think of all the money he's lost. I mean, he has been canceled a couple times. You know, the pro don't adulter crowd canceled him, and think of all the money he lost in those endorsement deals when the stuff went down back in 2009.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost got canceled for real by a car wreck.
Yes.
And now this fake cancellation. It's just funny. I mean, at some point, we get canceled once. That's all you can be canceled. You can't keep on. You don't keep on canceling people over and over and over.
I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of TV shows that were canceled, and they keep coming back, and then no one watches, and they get canceled again.
I guess that's true.
I mean,
difference is
doesn't mean you're done if you're canceled. You can get revived.
Everybody like, I mean, how many times is this story going to happen? Tiger Woods canceled. Oh, here he comes. It's greatest return ever in sports. anyhow, I thought that was funny. All right, yesterday we did our college football preview show. We made all the predictions for all the conference champs and all that. If you could change something that you thought yesterday, would you and what would it be?
Well, I think you know what it's going to be. I was about to do it on air or in the middle of the show, and I didn't after putting a lot of thought into it and after talking a lot. Now, this is what I'd say, but it doesn't mean I'm still sticking with my picks. They're locked in after yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
They're locked in. I mean, I even wrote them down. So, but I would go back and have OU losing to Texas, yet still winning the Big 12, but that loss knocks them out of the playoff, where I had them as the 4 seed, and I would put Clemson in there as a 1-loss ACC champ. That would be my switch. You?
Oh, man. I would probably... I mean, I had lots of Kentucky love.
You did.
Lots of it.
Talk about parody accounts. I thought we had a parody skinny in here.
No. I seriously considered having them win the SEC East. I really, really considered it. I'm really glad I didn't say that. But I considered it. I mean, I would look like the smartest man in the world if that really happened.
Yeah, you would.
But then I got to look, and I'm glad. I guess I'm not ashamed of my Kentucky love.
Hey, own it. Yeah, I like it. I mean,
I'm not ashamed of it. I guess it's not changed anything. But I seriously consider when we came back to the last segment to make our picks, putting them in there instead of Georgia in the SEC title game. Part of me wishes I would have done it, because you might as well just go all in. If you're going to give them all that love, you might as well go all in. You need to look like an idiot or look like a genius. So maybe that. Maybe because I've already gushed enough about them, people just assume I think they're going to win the East. I might as well just set it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Might as well just done it.
There's a lot of winnable games, but there's a lot of losable games, just look at their schedule. Well, so I can see how you can be very optimistic about them.
That game at Ole Miss is going to be humongous.
I think at Florida is going to be a very
telling.
That's week two.
That's true.
In the Swamp, new coach for them.
Probably.
You know, they're going to be very eager to win that game.
Probably Utah. Utah probably beat them up that first week. Them being Florida.
See, there you go. Does Florida really want to start 0-2 in the Napier era?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a no-win situation there, unless they do.
Doesn't mean they can't survive that, being Kentucky.
Yeah, but you'd rather. That's a loss
to an East
team.
If they win that one, they could be 4-0 going to Oxford.
There you go. Win that one. Boom. Now we're on a collision course with Georgia.
Because the rest are very winnable.
Yes. I mean, Tennessee.
Hosting South Carolina.
See how good they are.
Mississippi State. At Tennessee, that's. Now, you talk about love for an SEC offshoot team. My love is for Tennessee. So, October 29th, we might have a burrito bet going.
Well, that's a long ways away.
Well, I mean, who knows what the landscape's going to look like but
I can give up on Big Blue way before that. All right, at the end of the show, you had asked me to make a bold prediction. I'd forgotten it, so I shot from the hip, and it turned out it was exactly yours.
Yeah.
We both think Nick Saban will be coaching his last year.
That was our bold prediction.
We don't think that, but that's our bold prediction. Yep. And we kind of got into the discussion of who would follow him right at the end of the show. We just did not have enough time to really get into it. So who do you think it would be?
Who would replace Nick Saban? Listen, well, they can get anybody they want, it feels like. I say that very loosely, but I think they can get anybody that they want.
Man, I got to tell you, the text line, this is I feel like one of our promos is taking what I said out of context. This is now the third or fourth time somebody's told me about my brilliance. And how I'm heartbroken that I can't sit out in my car and listen to myself spew my own brilliance.
We were
talking about Antonio Brown's tweet.
Antonio Brown's, yeah, yes.
Makes me look pretty self-centered. Without, you know, the context of we were making fun of Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And now here it is on their text. But he's right. If Kentucky wins the East, I should be able to sit in my car and listen to myself be smart.
That's good. That's good.
It is. It's very good. All right, so who replaces Saban?
Again, they could get anybody they want, but you don't want to, you said it perfectly. You don't want to be the guy who follows Saban. You want to be the guy who follows the guy. With that being said, I think that, but who wouldn't want that job, right? We thought Lincoln Riley getting the OU job was, man, what a gift this guy got. Look at this program that he's inherited. Who wouldn't want to inherit an Alabama team after what we think could be Saban's last year with the national title?
Yeah.
So, again, that's why I say anybody could get that job. But I kind of feel like they'd be conservative enough to go, okay, let's, for one, we don't have to go pay boo-goos of money. We could, because we're going to hire a guy that's following Nick Saban that we're probably going to have to fire because he's not living up to Saban expectations and the pressure cooker is going to be up. So I could see somebody like in the program, like whoever, help me, who's the offensive coordinator now.
Bill O'Brien.
There you go. That'd be kind of a PR nightmare. But something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go get a guy like, or an up-and-coming guy.
It's not their M.O.
No.
Their M.O. is hire head coaches.
Right.
All the way back to Mike Price, to Francione. You know,
but what if they go to get a guy that's like, okay, we got to get a guy. We're okay with letting go in a few years. So what if they do go get a Mark Stoops? And it's not uncommon. Shoot, they did it the last time they made a hire. They go and get a head coach from within the conference.
Well, they hired Saban from the Dolphins.
No, that's true. We always forget that he goes to the Dolphins.
Right.
But it happens
in the SEC more than any other conference.
Well, I mean, where guys, Mullins went to Florida.
That's right. Where guys go within the league.
Yeah.
You know, a lot, you don't really see that anywhere else.
Not really.
But there.
It's common practice in the SEC. But what if they get a Stoops, or what if Josh Heupel is really good at Tennessee and they think, well, let's go get him, let's go
My
hire him
gosh.
Away.
My
Could
Lord.
You imagine? Could you imagine?
I mean, the only thing worse would be, like, if Brian Harsin turns it around and actually does good things at Auburn, and they just go, ah, you know what? We'll have him.
That'd be funny.
Because Tennessee and Alabama is—
what a flex that would
is,
be.
Is a rivalry just like Auburn. I mean, it's
that
not
would be crazy.
The Iron Bowl, but it's a humongous rivalry yeah. in the South.
But again, I don't think it's going to be somebody like— name me, I mean, like you know, we mentioned probably, you know, there was times it was Dabo, right? But now we're kind of
yeah,
pulling
that,
back from that.
That one always made a lot of sense because he was a an Alabama guy. He's not, but I don't know if what's the Saban connection. Is there one? I don't think there really is a Saban connection.
Ever, I don't think there ever was.
I don't think Kirby Smart would do it. Why would Kirby Smart do it? And oh, by the way, why would Jimbo Fisher do it?
Yeah.
Jimbo more than Kirby, I think, would be a candidate. Because Kirby Smart's proven he can do at Georgia what they can do at Alabama. I can recruit and I can win a national title. Watch this. Jimbo has proven he can recruit to A&M. Proved he could beat Alabama once. But what else has he – you know what I'm saying? And here's the truth. What is Texas saying? I don't think there's any doubt. And I heard the guys talking about this on my way home yesterday when they were talking about the who has of the Big 12 schools that left, Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado, and A&M. I don't think there's any doubt that it feels like A&M has been the one that's benefited the most. But what have they done in the SEC that they didn't do in the Big 12? Same thing. Meh. Win 8 games, lose 4.
So I Googled just Googling odds of next
Alabama coach.
Alabama
Are they
coach.
There?
No, what it's worth is it's from like 2 years ago. So these odds obviously have changed. And some may have not, but the lot of names that we're familiar with, the odds on favorite would be Dabo, 3-1. Kirby Smart, 5-1. Lincoln Riley, 5-1.
That was the very first text we got yeah. on the text line. Lincoln Riley. That's my bold prediction. Lincoln Riley will be the next coach at Alabama.
Other names that
I got Dan Lanning right here on my phone. If he's successful at Oregon.
Yeah. Even Bob Stoops is in here. He's a long shot.
Now see, now we're talking.
Pete Carroll.
He's too
Does
old.
Does he want to get back into the college game?
He's like 75 years old.
I don't know. Point is, you know, it seems like he's on thin ice up in Seattle.
Here's one.
Jimbo Fisher's on this list. Go ahead.
Is Urban Meyer on that list?
Urban Meyer is on this list. 8-1. But this was before the scandal.
What scandal? Nobody cares about scandals.
But they are successful of hiring a coach that had horrible showings in the NFL.
And if there is somebody out there that can handle the pressure of being the guy after Saban, it's Urban Meyer. Or
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. It'd be pretty cool to see Bob be the coach at Bama. Wouldn't it? I don't know if he'd ever do it. I don't think he would, but that'd be kind of cool. Bob coming back to Norman in an SEC game at night against OU.
Oh, that'd be nuts.
Bob versus Brent.
Oh, man.
How cool would that be?
How intense would that be? All right, another article from a year ago.
Here's a name that I think 3 or 4 years ago you would have heard in the mix for this, and all he's done is kind of continue to have success, but it feels like he's more entrenched now than ever before in his current place. Mike Gundy.
Seems he's really locked in wanting to retire a Cowboy, doesn't it?
It does. No, but you always heard him with Arkansas. You heard him with Tennessee.
Yeah, but was it real?
An agent making him money?
Yeah.
Probably the latter.
Here's some names on another article.
Ooh.
Steve Sarkisian being thrown around. Lane Kiffin.
I thought about Lane Kiffin, but I just don't think it'll happen.
They mentioned Bill O'Brien, so I don't feel so stupid. Matt Rhule. Same idea. Think about that.
Yeah.
NFL 10 years not working out. Comes back. I mean, he was really good at a mediocre college. Got them up pretty good.
Here's one that always gets a little bit of traction depending on who it is hiring. especially if it's Tennessee hiring a coach, John Gruden. He's kind of like the Jeff Van Gundy of NBA coaches. Every time there's an opening, they always say his name, and then you're like, wait a minute, he ain't doing it.
I thought he was canceled.
Yeah. Billy Napier on the text line, if he can succeed in Florida. Mm-hmm. By the way, I saw – do you know who was on Nick Saban's staff in 2015 at Alabama?
No.
Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Kirby Smart. Billy Napier. Was it Mario Cristobal? Well, everybody's the head coach.
Yeah, his name was on this list, Cristobal, but that was before he took the Miami job.
He could be one, because you're going to have you're going to have to be able to get a coach, I think, if it's somebody that has some ties to Saban, before he gets himself completely entrenched in where he's at.
That's true.
I.e. Kirby. Kirby ain't leaving Georgia for Alabama right now. It doesn't make any sense. Because then he doesn't have to live in the Saban shadow at Bama, and he's doing the same stuff at Georgia. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. That probably a mute point. He's probably coaching for another 10 years.
Probably so.
He's the Joe Paul of Alabama.
Ah, Mel Tucker. That's who it was. Thank
Mel
you,
Tucker.
Smithy.
Mel Tucker.
At Michigan State, yeah. Yep. I knew there was like six of them.
Yep. Obvious ties there with Saban and Michigan State, same path.
Going back now.
Yeah, never know.
Don't forget, we'll be at Big Elk Stadium tomorrow night, Big Elk TV. Kind of a preview show during the scrimmage. We'll have the scrimmage going, but it's not going to be like a normal football broadcast. It's not going to be just sitting there calling the game. We'll tell you about who did what or what, you know, as it goes. Point out things.
Catches our eye, and
that's right. But also, kind of preview what the Big Elks have this season as far as schedule, who's coming back, what holes they need to fill, the district itself. I mentioned the predictions. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Not necessarily maybe the entire show, but get a little high school football talk rolling ahead of scrimmage. Probably some scrimmages tonight around the state, be my guess. And then in full force tomorrow, all over the place with high school football scrimmages. All right, Jared, it's your turn to gloat. Tell us how happy you are that a guy lost his job.
I'm glad John Daniels, the now former director of operations, general manager, whatever his title was, for the Texas Rangers, is gone. See ya. He's made so many bad moves that he thought were good moves. Most notably, never attempting to shore up the bullpen or starting rotation. So I'm glad this is a step in the – I mean, they fired Chris Woodward. What was that, on Monday? And now they move forward and let him go. Michael Young's going to be in that position as an interim basis, it sounds like. I don't think he's up for the job itself. They'll go find a probably more experienced guy and not what John Daniels was. And a lot of people are going to give John Daniels – they're going to try to give him credit for the AL titles. Was that 2010, 2011? And it just felt like, okay, they can keep it going, and it never really materialized after the big names retired. There was a lot of questionable moves. So I'm happy about it. Tired of being a cellar dweller as a Ranger fan.
Man, they have an incredibly, historically bad record this year in, one-run games.
I know.
Almost impossible. You can almost just trip walking out of the dugout and do better in one-run games. And they're only, 13 below 500?
Yeah, it's not
it's
horrible,
been a better, been a better season than lately.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go. Exactly what you said yesterday on the text line. Rangers need Nolan back.
You know, he was a big reason why they made that push.
Yeah,
for
Chris
world
Young.
Titles.
Chris Young is the GM, not Michael Young.
Did I say Michael?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's easy to confuse the
when
two
when you think of Texas
with Rangers.
Sorry
yeah.
about that. So yeah, so we'll see what the future holds. I will give them this: they've drafted well. The last two drafts, I was happy with because they went after pitching, young pitching. But you know, it didn't make a lot of sense to spend all that money in the, you know, on the infield and not even think about offering any kind of major arm on the free agent market.
I wonder how much Globe Life will play into changing maybe the identity of what they're trying to do. You know, the ballpark was just a launching pad, and it was long assumed that because it was outside, because it was in DFW in the middle of the summertime, that top-of-the-line starting pitching didn't want to go there because it was just going to inflate their numbers, being hot, wearing down, you know, that kind of stuff. I wonder how much Globe Life might help in that effort to be able to, you know, if you start drafting them, obviously that can help, bringing them up in your own system. But maybe a little bit more comfortable surroundings at home can help in that regard. What do you think the chances Aaron Judge breaks the single season home run record are?
As his pace slowed down a little bit, I noticed the Yankees are kind of struggling.
He's got 46 home runs with 44 games left in the season.
I'm below 50% chance. How about you?
See, you missed it. Because here's the only way you can determine what their chances really are. What do you think the record is?
They're on pace to be setting a record on wins.
No. What do you think the record, the single season home run record is? Do you think it's the Sham 73?
Right.
Or do you think it's Roger Maris's 61? Because if it's the Sham, he ain't getting there.
No.
Well, if it's the real one.
In the books, it's 73.
But the real record, he has a decent shot at.
Yeah. If he breaks the quote unquote real record, it'll make some headlines, but they're not throwing ticker tape parades for it.
I'm going to.
Right down Pioneer, huh?
I'm going to. Right here. From 3rd to 7th Street on Pioneer, Aaron Judge Appreciation Parade for breaking the single season home run record of 61 that was set by Roger Maris back in 1961. This other crap that's happened since then ain't it, man. It ain't it. And you know what's crazy? Is that really is still in the books, the American League record. No, all those seasons, they all happen in the National League. You don't realize it till you think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, a Yankee chasing the all-time single-season home run record as we speak. He has slowed a bit. The pace has slowed just a bit. But he needs 16 in 44 games. That's just barely more than one every three games. It's doable. It's definitely doable to get there. So, also this weekend, we'll be monitoring Quade Cummins in the Corn Ferry Tour Finals. This is tournament one of three. Everybody starts at 0 points. Play three tournaments. The top 25 earn a PGA Tour card at the end of the three. They're in Boise this week. Boise has just started. He hadn't started yet, but he's about to. About 30 minutes away from his tee time. If they're just 1 hour behind. I think they're one or two. It is 9 o'clock head up. So, yeah, now about 30 minutes away from him teeing off in the first round up in Boise, Idaho. Well, there you go, Jared. We didn't get to the NBA schedule. We didn't get to LeBron James going to be paid $50 million at 41 years old.
I don't think we're breaking a lot of hearts by missing
those
topics.
How bad an idea that is. You want any Thunder Nuggets? Not like Thunder versus Nuggets, like Nuggets of the Thunder schedule. Any games that intrigue you, like wondering when that is? Maybe I want to go get tickets to go watch.
When does Orlando come to town?
You hit the nail right on the head as far as the execs in the TV world. For the first time in what? Probably 3 years since the COVID season? So two. Oklahoma City does have a TNT game. And it is November 1st at home against Orlando. Paolo versus Chet. Some others. Giannis is in town November 9th. You know, the New Year's Eve game doesn't seem like they always have a premier opponent. That's different this year. James Harden and the Sixers We'll be in town for New Year's Eve.
Oh, fun.
Trae Young's here the 25th of January, the Warriors the 30th of January, and the 7th of March. Lakers only here once, so LeBron gets to skip a home home Oklahoma City Thunder game on March 1st. Phoenix is here the 19th of March and the 2nd of April. Brooklyn, if we could be KD back on the 14th of March. Cade Cunningham's in the house the 29th of March, and then the Jabari Smith Chet Holmgren feud or battles with Houston will be here the 4th of February and the 15th of February. So you get to see that play out twice in the span of 10, 11 days there. So it's kind of I thought it was interesting, though, that Oklahoma City does have a TNT game for the first time in a while, and it is the one with number one versus number two in the draft with Orlando in OKC. Anything else?
I think we got covered. We'll be assuming really high school centric tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have some high school stuff tomorrow. Scrimmage is kicking off. See if we can have another bombshell like we did this morning with the Big Ten meteorites deal being finalized.
Who knows what could happen in 24 hours? Who knows?
Everyone have a wonderful Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week with Scott Garrison as well.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.